The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about prices falling incrementally, but falling nonetheless, certainly when it comes to electricity. So Electric Ireland have announced further cuts, for example. With me to talk about where all this is going is Dara Cassidy, Head of Communications at bonkers.ie, and Conor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent at the Irish Times. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. Dara, in terms of kind of scores on the doors, how much money are we talking about people saving on energy prices?
They're not going to be saving a huge amount of money, but look, it still is a reduction, and it's always nice to be talking about prices falling as opposed to prices going up. But Electric Ireland has announced that it's cutting its gas prices by 3% and its electricity prices by 3% for standard customers, but those who are on a smart meter and have signed up to a smart tariff will save 5%. So what does that look like on the average bill? Well, you're looking at saving maybe around €40 a year on your gas, and anywhere from maybe €45 to maybe €75 on your electricity, depending on whether or not you have a smart meter. But I would just quickly say those price decreases, look, they're welcome. It's nice again. Like I said, the prices are going down. They are going to be negated somewhat by the PSO levy increase, which is coming in, and that's going to add over €42 a year to people's bills. And then the carbon tax is going to go up again in October, which will add another €20 approximately to the average annual gas bill. So on the one hand, some charges are going down, but others are going up.
And why is this happening? What has allowed the electricity companies to reduce prices?
So basically, wholesale prices are falling. Now, they're falling from a really, really high level, and it does need to be reiterated that the energy crisis is not over. I mean, we know, we see it on the news, the war in Ukraine does unfortunately still rumble on, and the effects of that are still being felt very much in wholesale prices, both in Ireland and throughout Europe. But we seem to be particularly badly affected. But they have come down a little bit from their highs. They're still around those double normal levels. And that's allowing the energy companies to pass on some of that decrease to consumers. But on the flip side, without getting too technical, other fees are going up. So maybe you probably covered it maybe a week or so ago. It was announced by the CRU that these grid fees were going to increase quite substantially. So energy suppliers pay Airgrid and Gas Networks Ireland for the upkeep of the electricity and gas networks grid respectively, and the electricity grid in particular needs a huge amount of investment over the coming years. And the CRU, the energy regulator, sanctioned quite a big increase in those charges. It was over €100 for electricity per household and around €60 per year for gas. So that is being absorbed in some way by Electric Ireland, which is why I think its price decrease is quite low. I would have expected a bigger decrease if it weren't for those, you know, like I said, sanctioned network charges that have gone up. So, you know, between the PSO levy, grid fees, the carbon tax, some things are going down, other things are going up. It's marginally leaving people a little bit better off compared to last year, but prices are still high.
Conor Pope, I'd wager lots of people were excited when they saw headlines or heard headlines about electricity price cuts. I don't think they're quite as excited having listened to Dara.
No, I mean, they wouldn't be. And Dara is absolutely on the money when he says that price increases are modest. But I suppose they need to be looked at in a broader context. Now, the cost of living crisis and the energy crisis saw a typical household bill go from maybe €2,000 to €4,000 annually at the height of the crisis. And as a result of this price decrease from Electric Ireland and two other price decreases over the last 12 months, the cost to the Electric Ireland customer has fallen from, let's say it was the high of €4,000, to something much closer to €3,000. So we're still paying substantially more than we would have been in 2020, but we're not paying nowhere near as much as we were at the height of the crisis. So that does have to be welcomed. And it's also important to point out that, you know, this was widely anticipated. This is not a shocking, for want of a better word, price decrease from Electric Ireland. And I would imagine, and I'm sure Dara would agree, that all of the other providers will be coming down the road fairly quickly with their own price decreases. And I do think it's kind of clever in one respect of Electric Ireland to announce that it's going to absorb the network charge increases, because that was going to add an extra €8.40 per month, or just over €100 over the course of the year, onto its customers' bills. So at least they won't have to pay that higher cost when it comes to their energy. But the bottom line here is that energy prices are high. And I think the really important message for your listeners, of course, is they do have some power in their own hands to control those costs. And Dara will know better than anybody else that the big power that people have is to switch provider, because we still have a scenario whereby all of the companies offer discounted rates, discounted tariffs to new customers, but those tariffs only apply for the first year that you move from company A to company B. So if you have been with a company, be it Electric Ireland or Bord Gáis Energy or Flowgas or Energy or whoever it might be, if you've been with them for a year or 2 years or 3 years and you switch provider, you'll save yourself money. And the thing about switching gas or electricity provider is it is exactly the same product that you get from all of the different companies. I mean, it's not like broadband, because there can be differences in quality when it comes to broadband. And it's certainly not like cornflakes, because I've never in my life heard someone say, you know what, the gas from Bord Gáis Energy is great, but the gas from Electric Ireland is terrible. That doesn't happen. So I think people do need to be mindful of the fact that they do have some agency of their own and they do have some power to save themselves more money than the discounts that have been announced today will save them.
Dara, how much money could they save? And just how bad are we at moving around in Ireland?
I agree with everything that Conor said there, but he's definitely right to reiterate, you know, your gas isn't going to feel or look any different than either is your electricity, no matter who you're with. So it's the one product really where people should just focus on price. But look, there's absolutely big savings to be made. Just actually maybe looking at Electric Ireland, it's actually offering a discount of 28% on electricity for new customers, as well as €100 cashback at the moment. And if you have gas and electricity, so you're a dual fuel customer, you can get a 30% discount with €50 cashback. Now, if you're an Electric Ireland customer, you can go to Flowgas and you can get almost €300 cashback and a 22% discount on your gas and electricity. So they're big savings. And what that looks like, I mean, if you've, you know, a normal household using an average amount of gas and electricity, you're easily going to save at the moment maybe €500, €600, maybe even €700 a year by switching, which will help obviously limit the impact of the price increases that we've seen. Because as Conor was correctly saying, you know, prices went up, but they're still probably around €1,100, €1,200 a year higher than they were not so long ago. So people are still going to feel the pinch. Prices are still very, very high. And of course, we have among the highest electricity prices in all of Europe, which doesn't help. But you can limit those price increases by switching and getting a discount.
Will we ever get back down to 2020 levels?
No, I don't think so. I think the war in Ukraine has caused a huge structural change in energy markets. There's still actually, I think, a lot of Russian gas still in the system. I think a lot of people are under the impression that we've completely banned Russian gas and everything's fine and, you know, we've gotten used to buying our gas elsewhere. We haven't. There still is Russian piped gas in the system. And of course, we banned Russian piped gas. We didn't ban Russian liquid liquefied natural gas. So there's still a huge amount of gas in the system. Now, we obviously don't use it in Ireland, but other countries do. So we still have to try and weave some of that out of the system. And then as well, the most important thing is that the move towards net zero is not going to be easy. It's not going to be cheap. I think there'll be a lot of, you know, two steps forward, one step back. And whilst we will have lots of hopefully really, really green electricity that we're producing in Ireland, in 5 or 10 years' time, it won't necessarily be significantly that much cheaper, I don't think, than what we have now. So unfortunately, no, I don't think we're going to get back to where we were 2 or 3 years ago. That's not to say that we might not see some more price reductions in about maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years' time. But I think the prices that we saw before the war won't be coming back.
Conor, what about other consumer products? Let's start with food, for example. Food was kind of slower to see price inflation when compared to energy, which went kind of through the roof almost immediately on foot of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. But it got there eventually when it came to food. Is that going to come back down? Is that more likely to plateau? What's the kind of expert advice on that front?
Well, there's a phrase that rattles around in my brain a lot, and it's a and that phrase is, it's a shame we didn't know we were living in the good old days when we were living in them. Because the reality is that between 2010 and 2020, food prices and grocery prices in Ireland were at fairly historic low levels. And then they started to creep up, as you say, at the start of the cost of living crisis. And then they rocketed. I mean, we're talking about price increases, according to the Kantar, the retail analyst, of 16-17% inflation year on year. And bear in mind that outside of a mortgage or outside of rent, food is the next biggest expense for Irish consumers. So if prices went up, if food prices across the board or grocery prices went up by 20%, that would have seen Irish consumers worse off by 1,500 euros a year, maybe, or some like that. And what's happened over the last 6 to 8 months, maybe even a little bit longer than that, is food price inflation and grocery inflation has, as you say, plateaued. So we're no longer seeing the double-digit price increases that were recorded in 2022 or the first part of 2023. But what we're seeing is food price inflation and grocery inflation of around 2% or 3%. But that's 3% on top of the spiked price that we had to endure at the start of the cost of living crisis. And unfortunately, I can't see a scenario, and I've talked to experts in this area, I can't see a scenario where we get back to the level of grocery prices that we had in 2019, 2018. Because the reality is that an awful lot of the input costs that go into making food are high. So, wage costs are higher, energy costs are higher, property prices are higher for a lot of the supermarkets who might want to have invested in new properties. And all of these things feed into the higher prices. And the other thing that really bugs me about this is we have also seen significant levels of higher profits amongst some of the biggest multinational companies who supply supermarkets across all of Europe and indeed across all of the world. Because a lot of those big companies, they weren't suffering during the cost of living crisis. They were actually making more money. But the reality is that it's us, the consumers, who are paying the price. And again, when it comes to that, we do have a little bit of control over what we spend our money on and how we spend our money. Because when I would have been, like 15 years ago, when I was writing about grocery prices, Irish people had completely rejected the notion of own brand or private label groceries. Didn't like them, never bought them. Less than 10% of the typical Irish shopping trolley was made up of own brand products. But that has been completely turned on its head over the last 10 years. And now around close to 50% of a typical Irish person's shopping trolley is made up of own brand and private label products. And there are real savings to be made there. And people can save themselves 20, 30% on their groceries. But the idea that we would return to the food pricing and the grocery pricing that we might have seen 2018, 2017, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, having said that, I could be entirely wrong because the world has a funny way of making an idiot of you. And sometimes things change and prices can go one direction when you anticipate they go in another.
It's worth pointing out, though, as well, is when you say, we all get impacted, the degree to which we're impacted varies widely. So, you're higher up the socioeconomic ladder, you've got a good salary. The money you're putting into savings or spending on the holiday gets gobbled up maybe by some of this. But I'm just conscious of the story that was on the front page of your own newspaper this morning, Conor, and it's the level of kind of deprivation and child poverty having increased significantly in the last 3 years. I mean, the lower down you are on that socioeconomic ladder, the more of your disposable income is going on these type of things and the more stretched you become, the more children go without.
And that's I'm really glad you mentioned that because that's an incredibly important point. And the idea that 250,000 children are going hungry or their parents are struggling to put food on the table is just unconscionable in the society in which we live. It shouldn't be like that. And it's incredibly depressing to hear figures like that from the ESRI. And you're absolutely right to say that a cost of living crisis, the like of which we have endured for the last 2 years, 3 years, has a much higher, a disproportionate impact on people with lower incomes. Because quite simply, the percentage of their income that is spent on food is much higher than a person who's on a higher salary. So someone who's earning 100,000 euros is spending a much smaller proportion of their income on food. And it's the people who are on the lowest rungs of the financial ladder who are struggling the most. And I think that's why, without getting too high up onto my soapbox, that's why I think as a society, we need to do more to support those people so we don't have 250,000 children going hungry. And we don't have, in fact, any children going hungry, because that's what we as a society should be aspiring to, I would have thought.
And Dara, finally, just, if we try and look into the crystal ball to a degree, to the great kind of Donald Rumsfeld quote comes into my mind, kind of unknown unknowns and known unknowns and what have you. So we can't predict everything, but we know that there's a possibility of a Trump presidency. Again, we know there's the possibility of a kind of a trade war between the European Union and China getting ramped up. So we've already had kind of EV manufacturers pulled into it. There's talk of the Chinese slapping tariffs on dairy products. All of this is kind of trickle down impacts on the consumer. What are the kind of the, Joanne, I'm going to go there. What are the economic storm clouds looming on the horizon?
Well, there's one that isn't looming, and that's actually quite a positive one. And we'll try and end on something somewhat positive, is that interest rates are likely to go down. We've already seen one interest rate cut from the ECB this summer, and they meet next week, and it's almost a guarantee that they're going to decrease interest rates again by a quarter of a percentage point. Tracker customers will benefit almost immediately. So that's good, and hopefully that will put downward pressure on variable rates and fixed rates for new customers. And it's likely, if inflation continues to ease, that we are going to see further interest rate decreases both here and in the US. So that's a positive, and that will hopefully help some businesses as well with the cost increases that they've seen. But probably the biggest fear is just that if there is an escalation of the war, I think, in Ukraine or in the Middle East, that gives leads to another energy shock. Because we use energy to produce and make almost everything, if we have an energy crisis, that will really, really impact on so many goods and services that we buy. But look, we've had Brexit in Ireland, we've had COVID, we've had an energy crisis, we've had a cost of living crisis, and most of us are still standing, but we've actually done okay. So to try and be positive, the world economy does seem to have been remarkably resilient to all of these crises that we've had. So hopefully, if there is another one, and hopefully there won't be, we will manage to get through it. But good news in terms of mortgage rates, but for me, the big fear is still just around energy markets and energy prices and how they're going to, pan out.
Dara Cassidy, Head of Communications at bonkers.ie. Conor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining me.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.